This guy looks like it might want to sacrifice. Hey everybody, welcome back to Linux Weekly, daily Wednesdays where we sit back, relax, take that midweek break, talk about some of the fun things going on in the world of Linux and open source. I'm Vince Stone, joined every week by Jill Bryant. And everybody, we're just sitting around talking about giant robots with walking canes from the future here to save Linux gaming. It's weird, weird story. Go back and listen to that. Or you know what? Show up live next week and we'll tell you all about it. But if you're a patron, you get that in the live and uncut versions of the show. What's up? What's new? Jill, you finally got to go to Disneyland for the first time ever.
First time ever.
First time.
No, just how did you like it? I go every month, sometimes every 2 weeks. But yeah, it was a much needed break because my Steve husband has been working so many hours, anywhere between 65 and 72 hours. So I haven't seen him a lot. And so we had a lot of fun there and had some good food and went on one of our favorite rides. And one of the cool things is this weekend, we were supposed to go last weekend, but this weekend, we're going to go to the original Renaissance Pleasure Fair here in Southern California. And my Steve husband is going to wear something very unique that we will post in our LGC Discord chat. So make sure to...
Sonic the Hedgehog onesie.
No.
Traditional medieval Sonic the Hedgehog onesie.
Yeah. Huzzah! So I can't wait to be saying that a lot this weekend, especially to the Queen when she comes by in the parade. And then we had a fun Trackmania practice maps on yesterday's stream. I really like those. They were like a roller coaster ride.
Let's go ahead and jump into it this week. We got a new version of Ubuntu. Is it out yet? Is it coming out? Is it
yes,
way down the road? Did it happen last week? I don't know. I don't keep track of Ubuntu's anymore. It's every time I turn around, it seems like, hey, there's a new version of Ubuntu out.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about this. This isn't special. It's the highly anticipated Ubuntu Linux 24.04 long-term support edition. And it's scheduled to release tomorrow, Thursday, April 25th, 2024. And, but that could possibly change, but honestly, Canonical is actually, and Ubuntu is, are good on their dates usually with the timing of releases. So this one is actually Ubuntu 24.04 Noble Numbat. And being an LTS release, it will receive 5 years of bug fixes and security updates. And if you have an Ubuntu Pro subscription, it adds an extra 7 years of support for up to 12 years of updates and bug fixes. And that is just amazing. And it's actually powered by Linux kernel 6.8 and the GNOME 46 desktop, just like the latest Fedora 40 release that came out yesterday that we'll be talking about at the end of the show. And honestly, yesterday I tested out the Ubuntu 24.04 beta, and like Ubuntu 23.10, I was impressed with how slick and fast GNOME was running. On Ubuntu 23.10, it was using GNOME 45. But this was GNOME 46, and I think it was that much even quicker on the same machine. I installed it on the same machine as one of the machines I installed 23.10 on. And in fact, tomorrow, when the stable release comes out, I will be upgrading the machine, my podcasting rig here, to 24.04. So Ubuntu, you know, has always had one of the easiest and streamlined installers, and this release, it is even better. I mean, no one can deny the power of the Ubuntu installer. It's one of the reasons why the distro became so popular, because it was so easy to install everything out of the box. What's really cool, though, is there's actually an accessibility page now in the installer, so you can customize Ubuntu for your needs right at the start. And that's just wonderful, because Ubuntu and the GNOME Foundation have been working heavily, much, much more on accessibility, which we highly need on Linux. And the Software Center is actually greatly improved. It's much faster. It's easier to use and much more organized. It just looks altogether just much cleaner. And it's very similar to the Ubuntu 23.10 software center. But they did move a few things around, I think, where that was improved. And something that I actually love dearly about Pop! OS has come to Ubuntu. So Ubuntu 24.04 has a dedicated firmware updater now. Yay! I just love that about Pop. So I was so happy that that came to our default Ubuntu. And what's cool is the 24.04 beta actually automatically found an update for my Logitech Unified USB dongler for my mouse and keyboard that I was using. And that was quite sweet. It was really nice to see that, because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not in Pop! OS right now. I'm on Ubuntu, and it's letting me know there's an update. So that's cool. And actually, one of my favorite features of this release are the beautiful Noble Numbat wallpapers, especially the pink ones, both the one that is more graphical with a pink background and the one that is drawn more photoreal. I love both those wallpapers. I will be using those for quite some time. And for those of you that don't know, the Numbat is actually a cute extinct marsupial from Australia. So I thought it was cool that they were using that animal for this release.
Is that this guy?
No, that's not that guy.
I was like, this guy looks like it might want to sacrifice.
Yeah, it's not that one.
It's Ubuntu. If you're still rocking Ubuntu, good on you. If you like it. Trying to remember the last time I used Ubuntu. I think I tried one of their live CDs to pull up just like a graphical desktop to get to like GNOME disk or something like that. But I mean, hey, it works. Give it a try. Then go install Debian. Because you knew I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Vola. We've been promised for years and years, things we've been talking about on the show is the non-ending quest for a Linux tablet. Just a Linux tablet. That seems like such an easy ask, and everybody's taking a shot at it. They have. Vola is going to be the latest company taking a crack to make this elusive beast. This one's going to have a 12.3-inch quad HD display, MediaTek G99, 12 gigajoules of memory RAM, and 256 gigs of internal storage. All right, and apparently Vola's already made some smartphones, so they're not completely new to this hardware thing. Out of the box, this is going to be shipping with Vola OS 13 Android, but it's capable, speaking of Ubuntu, running of the Ubuntu Touch. Now, it does lack cellular support for data in the United States. They're just working on getting that improved. And I was looking at this, I'm like, all right, this looks pretty cool. I bet it's going to be about $500. Come on. All right. It's not bad looking. It's a new product. But when you're talking about, it's $563, which is $60 more than a Samsung Galaxy S9. It's Google free, which means a lot of stuff's not going to work. Lightweight design, advanced security. This isn't what I want. I don't think this is what I want. I don't think this is what a lot of people out there want. We want something similar to a Raspberry Pi, don't we?
Yeah.
Something really that it's kind of a blank slate. Something like the Pine Tab, but with power.
Yeah.
With a good screen on it and a lot of memory and a good camera and battery life. And I don't know if this is necessarily Margaret. I think the whole Linux angle is more of a afterthought. I think what Joe was saying is right. This is more focused at the privacy focused crowd that doesn't, you know, people who don't understand how to install like CX Droid or Lineage OS on their Android device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you think, Joe? You any thoughts on this? I mean, it's not bad looking, but at like $500, you're paying a premium for something.
Yeah, you definitely are. But actually, the Vola phones are loved by the Linux community. I know quite a few people with the Vola phones running Ubuntu Touch who really love them. So I think they would be willing to go out and buy one of the new Vola tablets. And honestly, it does look very beautifully built. And I think running Ubuntu Touch on it with an external keyboard and mouse could turn, you know, this powerhouse of a tablet into a very nicely priced hybrid laptop. Hybrid laptops are $500 to $600 range. So maybe that's where they're trying to get in the market.
I think like the hybrid laptops, they already come with a keyboard.
Yeah, they do. If this one, you know, came with a keyboard, they would automatically be turned into a hybrid laptop.
It does have an SD card, though.
Yes, it does.
Which is good. I mean, I wouldn't mind something like that. I want to see something like this in, you know, I don't want a junky tablet. I'm not going to call like a low cost reduced tablet. You know, like the Pine Tab, like that was more of a play around device. I want something more in like that 350 range because
that would be perfect.
When I talk about me, as soon as you start getting to half a grand for a tablet, my expectations jump higher than what this is delivering because those tablets already exist. Now, I'm not saying like I said, if that premium thing there is like the privacy, that's what you're worried about. Maybe go check it out. There'll be a link to everything in the show notes, but I thought we'd give it a mention anyway, like just in case, like, hey, man, like this is my thing. This is what I'm waiting on. For me, this is another miss for the Linux tablet that I'm still waiting for.
Yeah.
You know, I want that.
I understand.
Blank slate device where I can just put, you know, have that smorgasbord of Linux distributions and whatever I want to run on it. And I don't think this is going to do it for me. However.
Yeah, I think it might work for other people, though.
Tell me about the new version of Fedorf. Version 4.0. Seems like just yesterday. 4.0. I was downloading and installing Core 1.
So, yes, if you would like to play around with the default GNOME 46 desktop and not the Ubuntu-themed one, then take the latest Fedora Workstation 40 for a spin. That was actually released on Tuesday. Yesterday. So GNOME 46 actually includes a much improved focus on accessibility, like I was talking about earlier, upgrades to the Files app, more refinement of the Settings app and other core apps. And one of the cool new things about the software app is that the Flathub apps are displayed with their verified badges. This is something me and Ven have been talking about. The software centers need to have the verified software on there.
Don't wait. The Canonical, they said they're really going to think about it this time.
Yeah. Well, GNOME did it with their software app. And the other cool thing is that the Files app has a new global search feature, which lets you search files from any location you desire, which is really cool. That's a much needed feature in Files, otherwise known as Nautilus. And, you know, great work also to the Fedora team for another beautiful default desktop wallpaper. It's actually a cool, loosely painted bluish green forest, but when you use it in dark mode, it has the glow of fireflies in it. Really cool. I thought that was, so they added an extra touch there, and their wallpapers have always been beautiful. And so I was happy about that, but it was really nice just running GNOME 46 vanilla, you know, the default GNOME. Although I love Ubuntu's as well. It's awesome too.
I think the big story is we found the one person on this entire planet who enjoys using a stock GNOME.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind. I've gotten used to it. Although, of course, I install tons of extensions anyways. Like Dash to Dock and Dash to Panel. Those get installed first thing, generally, because I like my panel always showing.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get out of here, I want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
Email. And yay, a program that uses email and makes email possible and has on Linux for a long, long time is Thunderbird. And they're bringing Rust to the party. Bringing Rust to the party because it's a little crab. I didn't even realize Rust had a mascot. That's horrifying, but I bet it's delicious. Adventures in Rust. They get a little thing on the blog over at Thunderbird. So if you work at, you know, a company, your work email is probably powered by Exchange. And using Exchange and Thunderbird has always required the use of a paid third-party plugin. Since forever, this is just reality. Or I guess I should say, at least it did, because starting with the next ESR, that's the extended support release, you know, same way as with Firefox, this July, Exchange support's going to be baked in. How wild is that, you know? But I should point out, at least the email bits. The email bits are going to be baked in, because the calendar and address support, that's not going to show up until a later date to be determined. And really, the only thing about this, like, you know, they go on talking about Rust. I've heard about Rust so many times. They're going to be using EWS. For those of you familiar with Exchange, you're like, wait, I thought that was getting deprecated. Because it is. In 2026, the new API is called Graph. And you can kind of expect this to hopefully work for about 2 years. But the Thunderbird team, Mozilla's like, I should say Thunderbird team, they're like, we're going to go that direction. This is just something we wanted to get up and working right now. Now, this is a big thing. I think it was called OWL, was the Thunderbird program. Mm-hmm. The plugin that allowed Exchange access. And I don't remember what the pricing was for that. I don't know how that's going to play out. I they got Sherlocked with that one. But good, you know, I want to applaud effort. You know, I know people are going to be like, well, that took forever. I'm like, well, at least they did it. They got around to it. I'm using Evolution now, but hey, if you're using Thunderbird, you'll soon be able to join the party and exchange emails with work. Yay.
Yeah. Well, I think that Thunderbird having all the Microsoft Exchange support natively is honestly huge and will help greatly increase its adoption outside of the Linux circle. Because a lot of us Linux users forget, Thunderbird's available on Windows and Mac OS. So, and Windows is, of course, a huge market. So this is really nice to have an alternative to using Microsoft Exchange, which is not my favorite set of tools. So I'm happy I can suggest now people use Thunderbird for that, just like I suggest using the Firefox web browser for an open source experience. And, you know, one of the many benefits of Thunderbird using the Rust programming language is that it will make it easier for their small team to reuse their work for the likes of Thunderbird for Android, otherwise known as K9 Mail, that we love and we've talked about here on the show. Also, this helps the team go through the old infrastructure of code and years of buildup on the existing code base and reconsider using a language in an active community like Rust. And Firefox already has Rust support built in, and Thunderbird is built on top of Firefox code. So this makes sense that they're moving to, you know, a Rust-based system. It makes life easier for them.
If it works, it works. You know,
yeah.
I always get a shout out. I always get nothing but applause for anybody. Our small, dwindling, dying community of desktop email clients.
Yeah.
And people who use them as one of those people that rely on that. It's good. I have nothing but, you know, I kind of bounced off Thunderbird when they changed that UI. I tried it hard, because you know something you never want to do is have to switch email clients.
I know. Like, it's never fun.
That was not one of those. That was like, I'm going to make me love you. And I tried for a couple of weeks, man. I was going to handle it. But I love progress like this. And, you know, somebody saw that UI for the first time. They're like, this is it. I'm going to jam with it. You got to be able to keep both those thoughts and your brain meets at the same time. So it's a good thing playing around with Rust. There's nothing wrong with Rust at all.
Yeah.
So, And as Katana brought up, maybe multi-factor authentication. That's another thing. It might be an issue with
that's
teams.
A good idea.
Who knows? Yeah. Let them roll it out. Let them play with it. And this is, you know, you're not wrong when you say about time, but they're doing it. And that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Crazy times. If you get any thoughts, hints, allegations, let us know. Drop us a comment on the YouTube video and, or Odyssey. I check that like once every 3 or 4 months. And if you like what we do this live every Wednesday. We try to get in and out about 30 minutes. If you want the complete uncut version of the show, sometimes it gets edited down a little bit for time, but we try to keep the important bits in. But if you're like, hey, I want to relive that live experience, you can become one of our beautiful party patrons, patreon.com/Linux Gamecast. Everything we get goes back into the show. Trying to make things fun. We don't track you. We host our own podcast, which is extraordinarily rare. No tracking, all that fun stuff. Speaking of like paranoia, like, dude, I have to divide bandwidth to figure out how many people download our shows. That's the only data I have. We have, again, Patreon. It gets you live and uncut versions of the show. We get Libra Pay, PayPal, Bitcoin wish list. Let's see what Jill's got on her wish list over at the old Amazons.
Yeah.
Penguin mugs.
Penguins, plushies.
Not a penguin, penguin.
Mugs.
That's kind of wild. Speaking of Amazon wish list, if you pick up anything, I was playing with this in the pre-show. We got our fine upstanding cannibal wall back there to try to make it gently, not have seizures. But if you get anything for the studio, I will read a note. Jill will do the same, preferably one that you sent, because we tried just reading random notes and it confused people.
Yes.
Like B flat. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, but you said a random note. But we do appreciate your support, and hop into our Discord. We do have a Discord where this conversation takes place the other 6 days of the week. And of course, if you're in live, everything's linked together with our little bot that keeps our IRC. All that stuff's over at Linux Gamecast. Click on the live tab. Thanks. Yeah. Fun times. Check out interfacinglinux.com. I want to thank everybody who subscribed the past couple of weeks. We're almost at 1,000 subscribers. And I want to hand out a couple of participation trophies because I saw a couple of you did put the effort and initiative into subscribing to Interfacing Linux. But you subscribed to Linux Gamecast. I'm like, so close. You didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
But go check that out. It's been a side project for a long time. It's still kind of a side project, but I'm on a little bit of a mission to get serious about getting the tools and information together for content creators, producers, people looking to make stuff under Linux and have it all in one place with everything you need. And we're talking audio, video, ginormous heat sinks, whatever we can come up with is there. InterfacingLinux.com. And that's cool. There we go. Too late.
I want to do a quick shout out to Turbo Tree Sloth for upgrading his pledge to $6.66.
There we go. Happy birthday, Turbo.
And happy birthday, Turbo. I wished him happy birthday in chat, so I wanted to wish him happy birthday on the show. We love you, Turbo. And thank you to our producers, our executive producers, our Chicago Kicks people level of producers. They're not producers, but they're Chicago Kicks people. Our Death Notes. These are all the different levels that you can subscribe to on Patreon. And to our chairlings, there is lots of you. Lots and lots of you. Thank you so much.
Beautiful people, thanks for showing up. Hang it out. Have a great rest of your week. Try to get up to something penguin flavored. If not, you know what? Go install Ubuntu. Get back to us. Let us know if you see any mysterious puzzle balls floating around. You're like, and you'll wake up thinking about it, and then you'll be trapped in a maze with a Minotaur full of snaps. It'll be terrifying.
Yeah.
See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Love you all.